Well, praise God. If you turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a familiar scripture. I think a lot of people really know this one and like it. It's a good one. I've loved this scripture for years. I bet you have too. It's in Proverbs 3 and it's verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." I trust in God. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, okay. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And that means something different than what you think it does. I'll show you in a few minutes. "Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. You know, if you look back on your life, which I do occasionally, look back and see what's happened over the years, sometimes we find out as we're doing that, that what actually happened in our life is not what we planned. Have you ever noticed that? Or is it just me? I mean, some of you just really planned it out and carried it through. But, man, my life is kind of like a ping pong table. You know, bing, bing, bong, bing, 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 bing. You know. See, because when I was in high school, I was going to be an electronics person. Yes. A TV technician, to be exact. Which is a great way to be real smart and make no money at all, hardly. I don't know why I wanted to do that, but anyway. So I took electronics 3 years in high school, all three whole years. You know, we had day, what they called it, well, they had day trades in my senior year. And I went to Field of Collinsville, and they had a special half-a-day class on electronics over there in my senior year. But when it came time to get a job, it was at a printing company, laying out printing jobs. And you know what? I liked it. I enjoyed it. I never thought I'd do that. But you know, in high school, I played in a top 40 band. We had a dance band. It was really popular, called the Generals. I played in a top 40 band when I was in high school. Every year of my high school, back those, it was 8th through 12th was high school. And my first band, I was 14 years old, and we had a group called the Generals. Very popular back in those days. We played all the, you know, the dances and the sock hops and all that kind of thing. And we played at college fraternities. And that's what I did during high school. I never got interested in sports because I was playing music every weekend out on the road somewhere. I wasn't planning on doing it after school. I mean, it wasn't something I aspired to. Oh, I'm going to go into music. No, I never thought about that. But in spite of that, when I got out of high school, after a year, a few of us musicians got a group together and then decided to hit the road. There you go, praise God. We're going to go on the road, become a full-time nightclub dance band, which we did. We had a floor show, no less. I mean, we had an oldies floor show. We got out and did choreography and stuff. You'd had to seen it to believe it, but anyway. Sounds exciting, right? Well, we traveled all over the place, up and down the East Coast. One week we were in Buffalo, New York. The next week we were in Tampa, Florida. We had to drive back and forth, haul out our equipment. Next week we was back in Pennsylvania. So that wasn't fun. And we also played every night except Monday. We played six nights a week from 10 p.m. to 3 p.m. And so a few years of that, and I'd had enough, you know. I mean, it'll wear you out. It makes you a really tight band. I mean, your band is tight, but you're worn out. And so I came home, and I got a job at another printing company. I went to work at Bassett Printing. I'm just telling you a little about how things didn't work out the way I'd planned. That's what I'm trying to point out here. So the next 5 years after I came back from being on the road playing music, I worked my printing job, but I also played on the weekends down in Madison. Eddie probably remembers Moon's Dance Land. I also had a band with my brother and sister called East Winds, and we played, you know, at the Best Western every Saturday night for a while. Anyway, even played our 10-year class reunion over here at the Linwood Club that used to be over here. And we played our class reunion, and we had a pretty daggone tight group, you know. Anyway, but about that time, I was in my late 20s, about that time an unfortunate thing happened. A Burlington, North Carolina musician that I was acquainted with, was tragically killed because of some kind of a drug deal gone bad or something, you know. He was a musician. And of course, musicians sometimes dabble in drugs a little bit. Anyway, he was in some kind of drug deal that went bad, and he got shot. Murdered, really. And it had a tremendously powerful impact on me because, you know, he and I had both played the same venues over the years, you know, some of these dance clubs around and stuff. And I couldn't help but think that could have been me. I mean, it just really got my attention. That could have been me because, you know, that kind of stuff happens. And that guy, he was so talented. Their group played our high school prom when I was a senior. And they had a group that was incredible. And they had saxophones and horns and stuff. And they had spin around and all this stuff. Just great. Tremendous group. And I just knew if anybody was ever going to make it out of this area, it was that guy because he was so talented. He could get up and he'd have a crowd in the palm of his hands, you know. You've seen people like the showman, you know. But now he's dead, you know. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to him? Is he? I mean, what about all that talent? What about all the possibilities for his life? They were just gone. And I just couldn't hardly deal with that. It shook me up. I just couldn't understand how that could have happened. He was just in his late 20s. And so after I'd carried that around for about 3 months, I struggled with it. I found myself in a local Baptist church giving my heart to Jesus. I mean, I just couldn't come up with any answers for that. I couldn't come up with any answers about what about, I don't want to say his name. His name was Freddie. What about Freddie? What's all that's gone? That great thing he had going? But I ended up giving my heart to Jesus. I went up to the pastor and after he gave the invitation, and he said, do you want to rededicate your life? I said, no, I want to accept Christ. I'd never met a Christian before. I wasn't rededicating. And so now at the age of 29, I'm a born-again Christian. And believe me, that was not in my plan. If I'd planned out my, that wasn't in it. Become a born-again Christian at 29. Nope. So what's my point here? It's that life doesn't always take us where we thought we were going. In other words, we really don't know where we're going. With our best plans, we don't really know. And so if we're going by the way we lead ourselves, you know, I'm glad I didn't get it my way and do it my way like Frank Sinatra and Elvis and those guys. I didn't do it my way. Thank God. And so I want to talk a little bit about being led by the Spirit of God. If we're saved today, it's because the Lord led us by His Spirit to be saved. The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that does what? Leads us to repentance. So God leads unsaved people. He's always saying, come to Jesus. Come, I got something for you. Come, come. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. I don't like that church stuff, you know. And then you go on and on. See, we're not very good followers, even though he's leading. We're not good followers. And so he leads us to be saved, but he wants to continue to lead us. He wants to continue to lead us now that we're saved. And but to be led by the Spirit of God, it's not automatic. We don't just automatically. I know all the goof-ups I've made in my Christian life. If I'd been led by the Spirit in everything I did, oh boy. Even that would have been different, praise God. But he always managed to pull, you know, Abner said something here. He said, you know, we can go on and do things and mess up and God will get us out of trouble. Like somebody was talking this morning, I think it was Yvonne. God will get us out of trouble, but how much time did we waste off on a tangent, off on a side trail that we didn't have to go if we'd been led by the Lord? If we yielded ourselves to his leading, we wouldn't have gone that way. And see, we need to be led by the Spirit of God, which is probably one of the greatest revelations we can receive as a believer, is how to be led by the Spirit. Because we're constantly, always, every day, making decisions, making choices, planning things, saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And we can either make the right decisions or we can make the wrong decisions. It's a 50-50 thing. You might get it right, you might get it wrong. But there's only one way to make sure you get it right every time. And what's that? Being led by the Spirit of God. Because guess what? He never gets it wrong. He never misses it. Hallelujah. He knows more than we do. Did you know that? The Bible says He knows the end from the beginning. Oh, I tell you what, if I knew the end from the beginning, I might make better decisions too. And so that scripture we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It's interesting, the word acknowledge, when it says the phrase acknowledge Him, it means to know, to perceive, to find out, to recognize. We could say it this way, in all your journeys, know and perceive, find out and recognize what God wants. And He shall make your path straight. That's what that phrase, direct your paths, it means He'll make your path straight. You won't have a lot of obstacles to run into. That's being led by the Spirit of God, finding out what God wants. That's all it boils down to, find out what God wants. But He says, lean not to your own understanding, your own mental reasoning, your own intellectual skills and prowess. Oh, we're so smart. We can figure things out. We can make our own decisions. Well, up to a point, but if you don't know all the situation, if you don't know everything about it, how can you possibly make the right decision every time? Impossible. We're looking in our minds for the answer. We're looking in our intellects. But, you know, if I can't find my car keys, and I look through the house, and I look through every pocket, I look through every nook and cranny, every drawer, every shelf, every wall hanger, with no success, and then I go back and do it 50 more times, still with no results, what's the conclusion? They're not there. You've looked everywhere, they're not, they're somewhere else. And that's the way it is when we try to find the answer in our minds. The answer may not be in our minds. Yeah, we do all the research. We rack our brains. We crunch the numbers. We brainstorm the situation. But we still can't find the answer. But God has the answer. You see, we spend too much time looking in the wrong place. And it's the natural thing to do. God's always leading us, but we're not always following. If Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To whom is there no condemnation? Those who walk after the Spirit. See, there's a choice there. That's the point of this verse, bringing it up, that either we can walk after the flesh or we can walk after the Spirit. That's the idea I want to see in that one. Go to verse 4, Romans 8, 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The point is, it's our choice to walk after the flesh or walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, verse 5, do mind or pay attention to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they do pay attention to the things of the Spirit. This determines if we're walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit. What are we giving our attention to? Are we always giving our attention to natural things, carnal things, natural understanding? Or do we give attention to spiritual things? And what are the things of the Spirit? Well, prayer is a thing of the Spirit. Studying the Word of God is a thing of the Spirit. Learning about the kingdom, that's a thing of the Spirit. Seeking the Lord, waiting on God. Setting our affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. That's following after spiritual things. You know, some people never have that stuff in their life. They don't put any in there. It's all natural. I'm just living a natural. I'm a born-again Christian, but I'm just living a natural life. Never bother looking at the Bible, never bother praying, never do anything to draw near to God. And what we're focusing our minds on, is it spiritual or is it purely natural? See, a spiritual person loves spiritual things and spends time going after them. It says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded or purely naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What we think about sets the direction of our lives. One way leads to bad things, while the other way leads us to good things. And this is spiritual law. What is a law? It's something that stays the same and works the same way every time. For example, the wages of sin is death. That's always true every time. Faith cometh by hearing. That's true every time. Spiritual laws. To be spiritually minded leads to life and peace every time. So this part of the thing is just pointing out we have to be spiritually minded. We have to pursue some spiritual things in our thinking. Now it says, verse 8, so then they that are of the flesh or in the flesh cannot please God. Here's another concept, in the flesh, in the spirit, in the flesh, in the spirit. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And why not? Because it takes faith to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And naturally minded people rarely think about spiritual things, the things that produce faith. The things that please God. But verse 9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if the spirit of God is in us, which he is, then technically we're in the spirit. Because our spirit is one spirit with the Lord. Now, does that make it impossible for us to be carnally minded? Think a little bit. Does that make it impossible for us to be carnally minded? Obviously, the answer is no, or I wouldn't have said it that way. No, if that were true, because the Spirit of God's in us, and we can never be carnally minded, then there would be no need for the renewing of the mind. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the mind must be renewed by the Word of God to be spiritually minded. And I'm getting down to where I'm trying to get to. Just going through the weeds a little bit to get here. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are all Christians led by the Spirit? Probably not. But sons and daughters of God are spiritually minded. They set their minds on spiritual things. They are led by the Spirit of God. Are all Christians led by the Spirit of God? To some extent, all have the potential, but only those who become spiritually minded are able to be really led by the Spirit, because you got to think spiritually. You got to be in line with the way God thinks. Because we have to be aware of and be in tune with our own human spirit. See, we're spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. We have a soul that we think with. And we live in a body. But we're not the soul and we're not the body. We're the spirit. Actually, we are the spirit, but we have a soul and we live in a body. But oftentimes we're not familiar with our own spirit. We were dead to our spirit before we got saved. It was, you know, we were dead to the Spirit of God. And actually our own human spirit, the Bible says, we were spiritually dead. But now verse 16, I like this one. The Spirit Himself, God's Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit or confirms to us that we are the children of God. Any children of God in here? How do you know that? Praise God. How do you know you're a child of God? Well, the Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit, and you just have a knowing in your knower. And you know, you can't talk people out of it. Well, I don't believe you're a child of God. Well, I am too. How do you know that? I don't know how I know, but I just know, praise God. Because there's a knower inside of us that knows that. Because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Can you see how the Spirit, our own spirit, works with the Holy Spirit? There are two spirits involved here, the Spirit of God and our spirit. His spirit confirms to our spirit. We have a knowing in our knower. We just know that we know that we know. And that, by the way, is the primary way, the number one way that the Spirit of God leads us in all things is by the witness of the Spirit. Or you might say by the inward knowing. What do you think you're going to do? I just don't feel good about doing that. What about this? I feel peace about that. See, it's an inner knowing, the witness of the Spirit. It's like the lady I told you about before who needed to get across town, and she decided to go through the bad part of town, and then she got mugged while doing that. Later on, she said, I just knew I shouldn't go that way. Something told me. I had a bad feeling about it. But I just confessed some scriptures and went on anyway, praise God. And then she got mugged. She knew in her knower. She had an inward knowing down in her spirit, an uncomfortable feeling about doing that. But she ignored it. What we say is she overrode it. That's our Christianese for that. You know, I heard somebody tell a story years ago about a man who was going on a business trip. And his wife was taking him to the airport. And their little 5-year-old boy was in the back seat sleeping. I don't know if y'all have heard this story or not before, but they got to the little airport they were going to, and the man got out and boarded this little small private plane. And they took off, and the little boy woke up while the plane was taking off, and it was in the air by the time he woke up, and he said, "Mama, where's Daddy?" She said, "Well, son, you know he's going on the business trip. He's in that plane right there." He said, Mama, doesn't Daddy know that plane's going to crash?" No sooner than he said it, the plane came out of the air and crashed. And how did that little boy know that? See, he was alive to his spirit. Paul said, "I was alive once without the law." When he was a child, he said, "But the law came and sin revived and I died. Spiritual death took over." But little kids are alive to God. They can hear from God in ways, well, we want to be able to, praise God, say it that way. I don't want to say that we can't, because we can. See, our spirit's alive. We need to get in tune with it so we'll be able to recognize the leading of the Lord. So then, how do we do that now that we've waded through the weeds? How do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you very much, Janelle. I was hoping somebody would ask, "How do you do that, brother?" Yeah. Let me give you a couple little quick things, and we'll go on and have some lunch, and I can get my throat cleared up. Anyway, being led by the Spirit of God can be reduced to this: hearing the Lord and obeying Him. That's what being led by the Spirit is. It's hearing God and obeying Him. And it really boils down to just hearing Him, because we can choose whether to obey or not. That's totally in our control. But can we hear what He's saying? Hearing Him is the important thing. Is it hard to hear the Lord's voice? Well, let's look at John chapter 10. John 10 and verse 4, Jesus is talking, and He says, "And when He, the good shepherd, puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." Who knows His voice? His sheep do. How many sheep we got in here? Praise God. All right. All right. And you had a couple of wise guys, too. So who knows His voice? His sheep do. Then we know His voice. If we're His sheep, we know His voice. The Bible says it. I didn't say it. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice and follow me. The Lord is always leading us. How? By His voice. But we know that the Holy Spirit speaks to our human spirit. So to hear Him, we have to be familiar with our own born-again spirit. So how do we do that? The first and foremost way is, and I know you've heard this before, praying in other tongues. That's the very reason God gave us that gift, by the way. So we could get in touch with our own human spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says this, and we'll just go through a couple of these verses and then move on to one more quickly. Paul says this, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, when we pray in other tongues, these are some of the roadblocks to healing. You know, you think, I've got to understand what I'm praying or I can't speak in tongues. That's wrong. But anyway, I'm not teaching on how to receive the baptism today. I'm just showing you these couple of points. When we pray in tongues, our spirit is praying, but our understanding is unfruitful. Our mind doesn't know what we're saying. My spirit prays. Then to locate my spirit, all I have to do is find out where those tongues are coming from. Well, it was there. It was here. Was it there? You know, the more we do it, the more we hear. The more we focus in on our spirit while we're doing that. And I don't know, some people have never really spent extended times in praying in tongues. Sometimes you can't find out what it really does until you do it for a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Walls. That went over like a lead balloon. Anyway. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and y'all have heard it, it says that they, on the day of Pentecost, they, the people, spoke with other tongues. They did the speaking as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That's the Spirit of God working with our spirit, our spirit. We're the ones who do the praying. He gives us the utterances, the syllables, and we speak them. See, I would never speak in tongues if I didn't speak them. They could be in my mind or in my thoughts all day long, but if I never opened my mouth and did it, then I could never speak in tongues. See, it takes our obedience. Like I say, I'm not teaching on how to receive the baptism. It's just a couple of points there that are really good ones. But brother, I don't understand what I'm saying. What good is it for me to pray in tongues if I don't understand what I'm saying? Glad you asked that question. Well, in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So it is prayer if you're speaking to God and not to men. It is prayer. For no man understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Mysteries, hidden things, secret things in his spirit. And you know, the Lord speaks and reveals hidden things and secret things to us as we pray in tongues. See, we're having a discourse with the Lord. And this is one way of several. Well, brother, I've been praying in tongues for years and I never heard the voice of the Lord. I've never heard the Lord talk to me. I've never heard God speak. Well, possibly you're focusing on the wrong thing, or maybe you're not spending enough time praying in tongues. There's a particular preacher I listen to from time to time on TV, and I heard something he said one time many years ago, which was interesting, got my attention. He said when he was first starting out with these things and was spending some extended time praying in tongues, I mean, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, extended time, he was going along and his mind began to drift. You know, if you pray like that in a while, if you're praying in your understanding, your mind will drift. It's much less praying in tongues. Yeah, he started thinking about some things. He thought about how he could save money in a particular area he was thinking about and how he could invest his money in ways that would be profitable. And he stopped praying and said, Satan, get out of here. I'm trying to pray. And the Lord spoke up inside of him and said, no, that's not the devil. I'm trying to teach you something. See, the Lord was speaking to him the whole time and he thought it was the devil. I'm trying to be religious and pray here. Shakara masika. Get away from me, devil. No, that's me. That's not the devil. See, and he realized the Lord was teaching him things through the thoughts that he was having while he was praying in tongues. Do you ever just spend time praying in tongues and just watch where your thoughts go? It's a nice experiment if you ever get a chance to do it, or if you take the time to do it. Just watch where your thoughts go. You know, I taught a message a couple of years ago about this, talking about, and the name of the message was Supernatural Thinking. Well, I come around here and find out that Danny Brooks has written a book called Supernatural Thinking, so I'm not the only one. All right. Talking strange stuff. You see, through tongues, we disconnect our own understanding. That was what we were not supposed to lean unto. We disconnect it from the discourse, and we make room for the Lord to speak something to us that may not have been in our understanding. You know, Paul said, I wish that all of you spoke with tongues. I do too. I wish everybody had a desire for that gift, because I think it's an amazing thing and a blessing the Lord's given us. It'll make a huge difference in our relationship with the Lord and our insight into the Word. That's something it helps with. I can promise you that. So, that's the second part now. We're going to talk just a little bit about journaling. Journaling, whatever that is. What's journaling? Okay. I'll hopefully get to that. We had a video series here a few years ago. How many saw the Mark Verkler? He had a video series called How to Hear the Voice of God. And it was really good. We all listened to it. It's been 8 or 10 years ago. Yeah, and the way it works, and this is what he taught, you get a composition book, a notebook. You write a question at the top of the page, and then you proceed to write down what comes to you. You write down the answer. And his example was asking the Lord what he thought of you. Lord, what do you think of me? What are your thoughts toward me? You write that down. And then the people in the meeting, they take 2 or 3 minutes to be quiet and just start writing down things that they feel like they're hearing from the Lord. And then they'd share. He got them to share what they had written, the ones who wanted to or felt comfortable about doing it. And they wrote stuff like, my child, I love thee with an everlasting love. You are the apple of my eye, and I delight in you. I have great plans for your life, and I will help you to accomplish them. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will keep you in my love. You know, the Bible says we may all prophesy. And that's exactly what that's doing. You're taking, Lord, what do you think of me? And then you're prophesying the word of the Lord to yourself. It was really, really good. And we found out that we can hear from God, that we are his sheep and that we can hear his voice. But a lot of times we just ignore that. He's speaking something to us and we ignore it. We were supposed to come back to Wellspring in 2008, but it took us almost a year to actually do it because we had other ideas. Well, we're going over here, we're going over there, and the Lord wants us to be here. And then finally, we obey. But the first... When we were out of that other church, it was almost immediate that we ran into Pastor John and Mary Ann somewhere out at El Parral or something. They invited us to come over, and we said, well, okay, we will. You know, but anyway, over time, it finally occurred to us, this is where we're supposed to be after we tried everything else. Why couldn't we just obey? I mean, it took a whole year to do that. Anyway... Maybe I should have prayed about it in tongues, right? Who knows? Could have helped. Anyway, so journaling is a powerful way to develop a conversation with the Lord, a discourse with God. Actually talk back and forth with him. It's a form of prayer, really. You're just using a book to help you out. I heard Joyce Meyer on TV. I just walked through the living room. I think Jenny had flipping through the channels. And she was on there, and I said, oh, she's preaching. And I heard her say something that catches my attention. Every time I listen to somebody on TV, I'll catch, oh, wow, that's good. That's good stuff. And she said, prayer is not just praying a prayer in the morning and then going through your day. She said, we ought to pray our way through our day. Praise God. I said, oh, yeah. In other words, take prayer breaks to listen to God, to ask him about things, what to do. Through short times of prayer, not just one big prayer time in the morning, but just through the day. Lord, okay, getting ready to do, what would you have me to do? And I'd already been doing that myself. Even before I heard her say that, I had bought a composition book a few days ago, and I wrote on it, journal. Right there it is. That's journal right there. In tongues. No. I don't print all that great, but anyway, I'd been doing that. I, I and one day I decided, you know, I want to get a journal and do some journaling, and maybe I can hear, you know, the instruction of the Lord a little bit better. So I found the first blank page in the book after I wrote journal on it. And I said, Lord, what should I do today? Wrote it on top of the Lord, what should I do today? Lead me by your Spirit. And that's the first thing I did. And almost immediately the Lord spoke up and said, go over to Lowe's and buy some light tubes for this office. He said, you can't get inspired in a gloomy and shadowy room. Okay, I put my pencil down, closed my book, got in my car, went to Lowe's, bought 12 light tubes, came back and installed them, and lit up. So, whoa, this is nice. Light, let there be light, for goodness sake. And then I open up my journal and said, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And I'm thinking, see, I'm listening for God to say something to me and then obeying. No need for me to plan my entire day out. It's just, what do you want me to do right now? What's the first thing? And so he gave me some more instructions. And I did what he said. And it was great. It was exciting. I was allowing the Lord to lead me, not just going out and starting doing things. Blah, 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 like a Tasmanian angel. Or was that devil? Anyway. You know, just start running here now. Okay, I can do this. Okay. All right. What now? And stay busy, busy all day. You ever do that and then go back and say, what did I do today? I don't know. Don't remember a thing, but I sure was busy. Yeah. And it was great. It was exciting. I said, this is really good stuff. And Jenny had been hearing something about in the same few days about going back to the Mark Verkler thing and starting to do that and getting into that journaling thing again. You know, it's good to hear the Lord and obey Him. Because I saw in the Scriptures many years ago that when the Lord tells us to do something and we do it, we obey it, then supernatural power is released. Grace is released into our lives to do it. Did you know that? If He tells us to do it and we do it, it's just special. It's not just routine stuff. His anointing and His grace is on it. You know, it's like when Peter walked on the water. Jesus said, come. And he obeyed and went and he walked on the water. That's not something you normally do every day, go out and walk on water. But there was special grace for it when he obeyed. Or it's like the time when Jesus' mother said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so he said, fill up those water jugs, those water barrels. And he turned water into hundreds of gallons of high-priced wine. And see, that's the beauty of being led by the Spirit. Grace always comes with it. But we've got to take, I guess the point of my message is we got to make the effort to try to hear God. And not just go and see, not to lean so much on, we've got this figured out. I know how to do this. I don't need the Lord. But you do. Because He knows more about what you know about than you know about. In fact, you know, guess what? He knows the future. How many of you know the future? God knows the future. Now, the other day on Tuesday, I just want to share this and then we'll close. I told everybody in the meeting, the prayer meeting, there's a few of us there, that I'd had a very spiritual day on Tuesday. And it was just one of those days where it seems like the presence of God is around. Anybody ever have those days where it's just unusual? Man, I tell you what, I just feel spiritual today. Feel the presence of the Lord. Just sometimes it's, I guess it ought to be that way all the time, but seems like it's just sometimes are special days. And we were doing our worship time and our prayer meeting, and I sang the song, one of my songs, Drinking from the Well. Remember that? I am drinking from the well. And then we did the old Robbie Heiner song, There's a Well at the Top of the Mountain. There's a well. That was a big song here at Wellspring for a while. And and then later on in the midst of praying, we were praying for a certain individual, a woman who was having some difficulties. And Mary Carroll prayed a prayer about Hagar being in the wilderness. Remember Abraham's concubine? Hagar was run off and she's in the wilderness. I think Sarah run her off, or anyway, maybe it was the second time, when one of those times, and it said that God helped her in her desperate situation, and so she was praying along that line for this individual. And I thought about how God had shown Hagar a well during that time in the wilderness, and she called it Be'er Lahairoi, which means the well of the living one who sees me. The well of the living one who sees me. I just love the way that rolls off your tongue. You know, I found, where was that? It was in one of the translations of the Bible. The King James says, well, let's see, what is it? The well thou seest me dost do, or something like that. You know, you can't figure out what it's saying. But in this other translation, it's the well of the living one who sees me. Wow. And I shared how Hagar had gotten a revelation at that well that God always sees us, that he's always watching. And then Mary Ann said, you must have whales on your mind today, because we did the two songs about the whales and then the thing about the prayer. And I guess maybe I did. But I believe the Lord was saying that there's a well of living water within each of us. And we know that's scriptural. And he invites us to come and drink from it every day. We ought to be just bubbling over with water. We ought to drink it so much, you just take the towel, I'm going to drink some water, and then I'll do something today, whatever the Lord directs me. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and one of the things he does for his sheep is to lead them beside what? Still waters, refreshing waters. That's what he does for his sheep. Now, does he do that once in a while, or is it available every day? Praise God. That's right, you can put that bucket down every day, can't you? Draw out all you want. Drinking the wells of living water. See, I think it's every day. So let's just give him the opportunity to lead us. I think that's the only thing we miss here, is that we don't give him enough opportunity to lead us. We don't get alone with him, spend time with him. Those are spiritual things. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you got to become a spiritual person. Spend some time in spiritual things. Draw near to God. And then listen and, for goodness sake, obey. I mean, you know, like I say, I can't be the one who preaches on that, because it took us a year to come here after the Lord was telling us in the first place. But anyway, he gets it across to us. So let's let him lead us every day, and he'll always guide us into places of refreshing every day, every day. Amen.